Thank you. That's more than I deserve. I'm so senior that when I was a little boy, my mother used to take me on the Detroit streetcars to go to downtown Hudson's. I think it's an exciting panel, and I have four people on this panel, all of whom I truly admire. I'll start from my far right. This is not a political statement. With Paul Hillegons, who is the chair. We got a lot of chair here of the, I'm sorry, what's the formal name?
Regional Transit Authority,
former Speaker of the House and former about everything else. Next to him is one of the best journalists in Michigan, Chastity Pratt Dawsey from Bridge Magazine, which is about the most important, serious journalistic entity print there is today. Next to me is the director of Transportation Riders United, Megan Owens, expert on mass transit. And on my far left, for the first and only time in history, Leon Drolet, who is the chair of the Michigan Taxpayers Alliance and the owner and keeper of Mr. Perks, the giant pink pig that he likes to park around Lansing and gets huge tickets. But so we're talking about, I want to mention that we invited both Brooks Patterson and Mark Hackle, who are the main, the Macomb and Oakland County executives, who are sort of been the main voices against mass transit. Neither of them was willing or able to come tonight. So I want to start off, we want to involve you folks in questions, but I want to start off by asking a few questions of our panelists. And I'm going to start, as many of you may know, there was a proposal for a mass transit system on the ballot in 2016, which lost very narrowly by 1% of the vote. It won overwhelmingly in Washtenaw County. It won in Wayne County, not as much as people thought. Lost very narrowly by 1,000 votes out of 650,000 in Oakland County and got creamed in Macomb County. So I want to start with asking each of our panelists what they see as the next step for regional mass transit in the metropolitan Detroit, Southeast Michigan area is, starting with Paul.
Thank you, Jack. Well, we are currently inviting public comment on a revised master plan with the hope that voters will have an opportunity to decide whether we should tax ourselves and implement that 20-year master plan in the general election this year, 2018. That will require approval by our Regional Transit Authority Board once we have received public comment and considered changes to the draft plan. We then would need, before mid-August, a vote, 7 of 9 voting members of the Regional Transit Authority, to put the issue on the ballot. And not only do we need a supermajority, but we would need a vote from every county. We cover 4 counties and the city of Detroit. So we essentially need a consensus on whether or not to move forward in 2018.
Chastity, I'm going to come to you last because you're an analyst, not a policy advocate. Nothing personal. But and you can sort of assess where this stands from your point after we hear from everybody else. Megan, how about you?
I'm certainly very optimistic that we will have an opportunity to vote on regional transit this November. As Jack said, it lost very narrowly, and a lot of the recap from the 2016 measure was that a lot of people just didn't know about it. One of the realities we're facing is that this is the Motor City. We are still, it's been 2 generations since we've had a robust transit system. And so a lot of people drive everywhere they need to go. They don't know very much about transit, and there wasn't enough knowledge or understanding of why that transit plan would benefit communities. A lot of people knew we needed to do something, but they just didn't know enough to feel confident to support that one. So I am optimistic that we will have an opportunity to vote this fall on a transit funding measure, because that's the only way we're going to see robust changes. I will say DDOT and SMART are working very hard. They're making important improvements, but they're making baby steps.
You say this fall. We voted this fall.
Yes, this November.
What would we be voting on this fall?
The Regional Transit Authority Plan, it would be a 1.5 mil property tax across the 4 county area that would enable an expansion of transit service throughout the region. So there would be 15 different routes that would run every 15 minutes to ensure more people could get more places, whether that's to jobs, to schools, or to the other opportunities. There would be a commuter train between Detroit and Ann Arbor to finally link these vibrant areas that have been separated for so long. There would be airport express service to give people convenient access to get to the airport without spending $75 or spending 2 hours driving and parking. Plus, there would be investments in each and every local township to make sure every community had an opportunity to benefit from transit. Every single community would have funding and support to address their local community's transit needs. And there would also be pilot projects to fund new mobility technologies. We know technology is changing, but
it sounds almost like you're in favor of this.
You would think.
Leon, you're a big tax and spend guy, not.
Right,
tell us what you think.
So mass transit, as you know it, is already dead. It's been declining across the country since 2014 in almost every major metropolitan area. And it doesn't matter how much they spend on it. Los Angeles, New York, all the dense cities, mass transit use has been declining. And it's reflected here in Michigan as well. So in 2014, the voters in Macomb County almost doubled the tax for SMART, went from 0.59 mils to a full mil. And ever since then, ridership has declined. So ridership is declining across the country, with a few exceptions, for mass transit, no matter how much they tax and no matter how much they spend. And there's a lot of theories about it, and I read about these theories in various mass transit advocacy magazines. Most people look to Uber or Lyft and say that some people are choosing those options instead. Some people think the economy's, you know, been relatively good, so people are buying cars instead. But whatever reason, mass transit as we know it is dead. And putting money into trolley cars that Jack used to ride when he was a kid, you know, back in the 1800s, is not the future. It's not the future of mass transit, folks.
It was 1904.
My apologies. That's not the future of mass transit. And putting money into an old-style bus, inconvenient system is not a service to the riders, nor is it a service to the taxpayers. What we really need to do, even if this new tax doesn't pass, according to the Census Bureau, just under 40,000 people in the four-county area use mass transit to get to work currently. If you add up all the money that's already spent on mass transit, the money that's spent for SMART, DDOT, the money that's also spent for your 10% of your gas tax dollars, the 10% of your vehicle registration fees that goes to mass transit, for those 40,000 people, we're spending about $4,200 per person per year for the people who currently ride that transit system. If I told any of you, you can spend $4,500 of public money to help somebody get around per year, I'll bet you'd come up with a different way. And I think there's different ways, and I think it includes empowering the people who use the system, who need the service, through vouchers that they can use for any sort of transit that they want, that we can put existing mass transit dollars toward, subsidize that voucher transit card that they can use to go for Uber if it's more convenient for them, or a Lyft, or a Chariot ride, or a SMART ride, or however they want, instead of saying, here's your Soviet-style dinosaur, go wait at the bus stop, and we're going to spend top dollar on this, and that's your future. I think it's inconvenient. I think it's expensive. It's bad for the riders, and it's bad for the taxpayers.
It sounds to me like there's some slight area of disagreement between Megan and Leon. But I now want to turn to Chastity. And you've heard all this, and you also talk to people. In your opinion, based on, as an analyst, where do things stand?
Oh, I just have a question. Raise your hand if you remember voting on mass transit last year. Okay, raise your hand if you know what the new mass transit plan is. Very few people do. There is a huge mass transit plan that's being debated, and the longer it's debated, the less time there will be for anyone to really know, find out, campaign, get this mass transit plan known around the state or around the region for people to vote on it. So where things stand is there is, like Megan outlined, a 1.5 millage that people are discussing for the November ballot, possibly. But the longer that discussion goes on, the less time there will be between now and November to really get people familiar with what it is so that they can decide whether they want it or not. What we, I don't know about this $4,000 per person.
That's what
I don't know what you're talking about. However, I know this much. We got bad roads, true or false?
True.
And the more vehicles you put on the roads, the more damage. Mass transit encourages people to not drive their cars, to go on the bus, to do less damage to the roads that will cost us less infrastructure-wise. So where things stand is people are discussing it. The RTA is having public meetings about it. But time is running out to really get a public campaign going for people to learn what it is and discuss whether they want it. And in the meantime, there is a bill that is giving that is in the legislature that is probably going to get a hearing and a vote. And it's the bill would allow communities that don't want any parts of a regional transit plan to opt out. And when they opt out their money, their taxes. And there's a very lucid discussion about that going in on, which says if you allow people to opt out of the regional transit plan, it's a slippery slope. Next, what's going to be next? Opt out of schools? Opt out of what? You know? So there's a discussion going on. While there's discussion about the RTA master plan proposal, there's discussion to allow certain communities who don't want transit to opt out of it and opt out their money, which could impact the plan as well. All of this is going on while time is ticking closer to November. And one last thing. If all of this goes to hell and nothing happens, Wayne and Washtenaw have said, you know what? We're going to go it alone anyway. Because we need transit. So eventually, this thing will get done one way or the other, small, big, large. Yes. It'll happen.
Good. I want to ask a couple. I want to get to the audience, too, but I want to ask a couple devil's advocate questions. First of all, Paul, it seems to me that mass transit would have made a great deal of sense in the world of our fathers. People went to one big box location. They went to a factory. They went to an office. They worked there all day. Nowadays, I get more people have multiple jobs. They run around all the time. Their schedules aren't set. Aren't those people going to have a hard time really using mass transit?
Well, first of all, let's talk about those who need mass transit. I like to talk about the Crain's Detroit Business article about Ashley Williams, who lives in the Brightmoor neighborhood in Detroit, has a job at 12 Oaks Mall in Novi, and she can take a bus to the Novi boundary because Novi has opted out. She needs to either walk or ride her bike 1.6 miles to her job. Depending on the weather, that is a 90-minute to two-hour ride for her. That's one anecdote. But the fact is that 92% of the jobs in the four-county region cannot be reached by mass transit in less than 1 hour. And so there's a reason more people don't use the current mass transit system. That's why this plan that would have 15-minute frequencies, more routes east, west, north, south, with no opt-out communities, I think we'll invite more ridership. But Leon made a point in the last campaign. Just relying on mass transit isn't enough. With the changes in technology, we can talk about ride sharing with Uber and Lyft. We can talk about, down the road, autonomous vehicles. But that will be necessary to connect the first and last mile to a mass transit route. There's a reason why major auto employers like Ford and GM are supporting this regional transit plan. They see a role, obviously, for themselves in providing autonomous vehicles and working with the Uber and Lyfts of the world, but they know that that alone will not solve the congestion problem, will not solve the mobility problem we have in our region. 40% of us today cross county lines to get to our jobs. We need mass transit, and if we're going to grow as a region, we need to do it without simply relying on vehicle congestion.
Now I want to press Leon You know, despite everything you said, it's well known. I know it's anecdotally from spending a lot of time in Detroit, but also there are statistics. There are a lot of people in Detroit who want jobs, and there are a lot of jobs in Oakland and Macomb County that they just physically can't get to. Doesn't that, shouldn't we have some kind of improved mass transit, even if it's only the buses you disparaged, so those folks can get there? Isn't this a win-win for everybody?
Jack, what we'd like to have is transit. You know, the job is to get help people get where they need to go,
right,
who may not be able to afford a car for whatever
right.
reason or have a reason they can't drive a car. But transit doesn't have to be the Q line. Transit doesn't have to be a bus. So if we did say...
What would you have otherwise?
I would allow people to... I would create a voucher system of a transit card. Let the users pay.
Did you know DDOT started that with Lyft today?
Let him finish.
Great. Let's get rid of the incredible cost of the buses and all the equipment and the mechanics and all that sort of thing. Let's pay 75% of the cost of the transit card for somebody who can't drive a vehicle. Let them pay 25% and let them get picked up at their front door and driven to where they need to go instead of switching buses two times. And why do you shake your head? Do you know how much it costs, the average Uber ride costs? Costs $13.
The bus costs $1.50.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It costs a heck of a lot more than that. That's why they need the tax. That's why they need the tax. If it cost $1.50, I'd be all in. Okay. But unfortunately, it costs many, many times more than that in subsidies.
Okay, I want to have a question for Megan, and then we're going to throw this over. You made this wonderful presentation of why we should have mass transit. Well, 2 years ago, everybody, all of the leaders, I was at Mackinac, Paul was there, the Republicans there, Democrats, business executives, labor, you know, welfare rights people, everybody was in favor of the RTA. And the people said, not so much. How come? Why did they turn it down after such a huge outpouring of support from people saying you should vote for this?
I may end up sounding a little like a conservative here, but that was all of the elites, the political powers may have all said this is great. Every newspaper endorsed it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the average person understood it. That doesn't mean the average person knew what it meant when they were asked to vote on transit. They didn't necessarily know that that they might be able to use it to get to the airport for $8 instead of $75. They didn't know that it might be able to help people get to jobs when their cars
break down. Well, I said so on the radio. You mean some of them didn't listen to me?
A few of them somehow missed you there. And the reality is 2016 was a little bit of a busy news year. There was a lot of other attention on a lot of other issues. 2016 was the first time this region has ever, as a region, been asked to vote on transit. A lot of communities, it takes a while, a lot of regions, it takes a while for people to understand how transit fits in their community, how it benefits them. And given that we were only a few thousand votes short, I think what the RTA is doing of coming back, listening to what people said, saying, let's listen to those concerns, make changes to the plan, ask people, did we get it right, make more changes to the plan, and then ask the people to vote is critical. That's really what we're asking is, did they get it right? Let the people have another chance to vote as to whether this is the plan that would improve our region.
Jack, if I may, there are other issues. Chastity has mentioned we didn't have a lot of time. It was the very last moment when we had enough consensus to put an issue on the ballot. We were behind the curve in launching a campaign, raising the necessary funds to do education and get out and do the kind of grassroots work needed. But there was more than that. Interestingly, even though we didn't have time to truly educate, inform about the plan, the plan passed very comfortably in the parts of the plan that provided fixed-line bus service. The farther out we got in the northern and western parts of Oakland County and the northern parts of Macomb County, we lost badly. Well, we didn't really have a defensible, if you will, proposal for those out-county areas. We proposed $10 million annually of service for on-demand service that couldn't be addressed by fixed-line bus routes. This revised plan will provide $50 million annually for on-demand service in the out-county areas and another $20 million annually for autonomous vehicle Uber-Lyft ride-sharing partnerships. We really have listened, and I think we have a much better story to tell about how people will be impacted by regional transit.
Jack, a few people...
Wait a second. I'm going to let Leon have one last word, but then I want to involve the audience.
Okay. So a few people have mentioned that people didn't have a chance to become informed about the last plan. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys spent $3.5 million on that Yes Vote campaign. $3.5 million.
It wasn't your money.
No, it wasn't. But that's a lot of money to urge people to vote yes.
It's only half
as much. The No Vote campaign spent less than $100,000. And before we launched that campaign, we did some robo-polling, some very inexpensive polling. And we divided people into two groups that we did these automated phone calls to. In one group, we read the positives of the plan off essentially the pro side sheet and asked people how they're going to vote. On the other, we gave them both positives and the negatives. And the results were starkly different. If people were only given the talking points from the RTA, it was going to pass by about 65%. But if they heard both points, it flipped. So we knew that all we had to do was somehow find a way to get people to hear our talking points too. You guys can spend $3.5 million. You've got the money from the elites. You're right. The elites are funding it. The elites are behind it. The elites love it. But we just have to get the word out to the everyday folks that are paying for it and let them know what the other side is, and they vote no. So okay, give us 5%.
For what it's worth, our polling said the exact opposite.
Can I just interject? We're having a conversation without the benefit of some facts. It's just some basic facts about what the plan says and what the old plan said.
Right.
Essentially, it'll cost the average person, what, $150 a year? Their household property taxes is anywhere from $150 to $200 a year for this plan. And the new plan that Warren Evans put forth really was a result of listening to the pushback from some of the outlying counties, rural areas that said, what's in it for me? And this isn't the first regional area to turn down regional transit. And a lot of onlookers said $3.5 million was not enough to do a campaign in 4 or 5 months, was definitely not enough to do an educational campaign. And there's no, you know, a lot of people who are looking at it from the outside weren't surprised that it failed. You know, there are people who said there's a lot of things that go into a campaign that we're lacking here in Michigan. But the new plan... This is the Motor City. We're not used to having transit, right? We're not used to, we're not like places like Cleveland even, where you can take the bus to the airport. Forget Philadelphia, Boston, New York. We're not even like Cleveland. We're used to driving our cars. But the new plan is if we don't want regional transit like the bigger cities, the new plan takes us a step back because you don't have bus rapid transit. Bus rapid transit, which is a dedicated lane for a bus and it goes somewhere quickly. This is like a basic mass transit thing, and we are taking that out of the plan and just doing buses like the fast. And the thing that is interesting as an onlooker is, okay, we have roads problems. I got to keep saying this. We have issues with roads. But the mass transit plans take pressure off the roads because it takes some people, some cars off the roads. But the new plan kind of doesn't.
Chastity, let me ask you one question. I really want to be a microphone fascist and turn this
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But let me ask you, are you saying... The plan that was rejected in 2016, I think, was fairly comprehensible. They talked about these special buses. Are you saying that what's on the ballot now is really more amorphous, which is more hard for people to get their
heads around? Well, it's more what people wanted, but sometimes people don't know what they want. Right. It's not as futuristic and as mass transit friendly as other cities and as our roads can take. So, yes, they very much listen to what people wanted, and they're giving them buses that move fast, but they're not giving them buses that are most efficient and most good, you know, get it good at moving.
So, true or false, is this, in your opinion, is this proposal going to be easier to pass than the 2016 proposal?
It's giving people what they want. They'll probably pass it. Is it a better transit plan than the one before? Probably not.
Gotcha. Now I want to go to the audience. Raise your hand. And we have Vanna White here with a microphone. Please say your name and, if you like, what you do.
David Dursum, retired. Just a quick comment. We were in Philadelphia about 2 months ago, and we went from the airport to downtown for a dollar. A very nice way to appreciate the city. My concern is, for instance, losing Amazon. Now, there were several reasons, but one was pointing out the mass transit system. Had we gotten Amazon, all those costs that you say we would be saving might be able to have been eliminated by just the addition of all the support that Amazon would have given us.
Amazon did not say they weren't coming here because of transit. They said they came here because of lack of talent.
Well, they said both. But they very much said two major issues were transit and talent, and those are interrelated. Then that, I think that is an important fact. The reality is, all of us on this stage and most of the people in the room, with a few exceptions, probably grew up in a generation where driving when you turn 16 was the end-all be-all and was really exciting. The reality is, younger people today, people in their 20s and 30s, regardless of what we may think of it, are much less interested in driving. Amazon knows that. Ford knows that. Quicken knows that. If we want to be able to attract the top talent across the region, across the country, whether they're coming out of U of M, Wayne State, or Harvard, we actually have to provide a place where people want to live. You asked earlier about whether people want to, if they're working three different jobs, can they handle being on transit? Actually, they would prefer to be on transit because then their commute is not wasted time. Then their commute is doing their email and planning their day and checking their phones. A lot of people much prefer that, and as long as we keep ignoring the fact that the rest of the nation acknowledges, we're going to keep losing out.
So if transit was the main reason we lost Amazon, you wouldn't have seen places like Cleveland, Indianapolis, Columbus, and others on the list, which may do better than we do, but they're nowhere near in the top when it comes to transit, mass transit providing. So I'm sure it's an issue. But a lot of communities made it where mass transit was not necessarily one of their strengths.
And every one of them invests more in transit.
But most of them are not in the, not places like Indy and Columbus are not in the top half of being of providing mass transit in the country. And yet they were selected.
Okay, I want another question.
But hold on. I need to. Amazon reportedly said that after our insufficient talent in the region, transit did matter. But forget those we're trying to attract. There are a long list of major employers in our region, the Detroit Regional Chamber, which includes smaller employers, the health systems, who are all saying we need to improve mass transit. Right. It's important to us as employers and job providers. And it's not only jobs we're losing if we don't fix this. It's billions of dollars that we've already lost in federal and state matching funds. Because we are unwilling to step up. Today, we are paying about $67 per person to support our transit system. That compares to about $269 of per capita support for regional transit among the other major metro areas. And areas like Cleveland and Indianapolis are growing their systems and qualifying for federal matching funds while we sit here and argue.
I mean, the question is, who do we want to be? What do we want to be? If we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting. What do we want to be 10, 20 years from now? And then we need to move our plans in that direction.
So I think the voters said, I'd rather have that $200 than pay another $200 to catch up to these $269 regions, the $200 per person. I think... Well, that's what the majority of the voters said.
If you're that convinced, then it doesn't hurt to vote again.
Because believe it or not, money is not just invested by government. Money is actually invested and spent by people, everyday people. And they have different priorities. And for us to tell them, here's your priority. We've decided what it's going to be for you. We're going to take an extra $200 out of your family income per person, as you noted, and spend it on a bus that nobody wants to ride. And that's our decision for you. That has cost to everybody else, every family in the region.
Yeah, I know about that because on Monday I spent $259 for a new tire because the road going to Michigan, because I have no choice but to drive to Wayne State on roads that we don't fix. I want another question. Yes.
Hello, my name is Jeff Kingsett from Pontiac. I want to revisit the question of opt-out communities and why that's a bad idea. There's a good precedent from the 1990s that allowed certain communities in Oakland County and Wayne County to opt out of the smart millage. And by allowing the no vote communities to opt out, we were able to pass a millage to fund smart. Why is it a good idea now to require communities that are inclined to vote no to have their votes included? Why not just let them opt out and let those of us who live in communities that are transit-friendly vote yes?
You're asking why we should... Let me restate that. You're asking why it's not a good idea to let people opt out.
Right.
Okay, let me have Megan address that first.
Sure. Because we don't want a Swiss cheese system, because it's not efficient or effective for buses to drive every day to come up here to Pontiac. There are people who need to get to jobs in Bloomfield Hills who can't get on or off that bus that drives through Bloomfield Hills every half hour because Bloomfield Hills refuses to be a part of the system. There are people like James Robertson, the walking man from a couple years ago, who walked 21 miles every single day. He wanted to work. He had a job. His car broke down. He figured out a way to make it work, but why do we make it so hard? Now, there was actually a hearing this morning in Lansing that I was at to ask this very question. And I think there's some validity. There was a debate as to, is there a way to shrink the region? Maybe it would make sense to remove the very rural areas, that's truly farmland, and remove those areas or have a lower millage rate for them. But what's concerning is there's, 140 different townships in Southeast Michigan? If every single one of those 141 towns are all debating over whether to have transit, you do not have an efficient regional system. You have gaps, you have holes. So having I can't opt out of the police department in my community, even though I've never had to call them. My grandmother can't opt out of paying for schools. Even another example, if you look at 696 when it was built in western Oakland County. It was built in Macomb County, but there were communities in southeast Oakland who wanted to opt out. Pleasant Ridge, Oak Park, they did not want to have a highway run through their community. It was forced on them because transportation doesn't work in a piecemeal system. You need to have a continuous system to make it efficient, to make sure people can get to jobs, and to make sure we're not leaving communities behind.
And I would agree that if you want a monolithic, old-school system, that you need to have people forced in. So I understand that. But there's a lot of people out there, people in Macomb County, the area that I represent, that frankly don't like being told, this is how you're going to live. We are the elites. We're the business leaders of Michigan. We're the legislature. We're the regional leaders have decided that you will pay and live the way we tell you to live and pay.
We're half of our region.
And they're inclined to vote no. And they did vote no.
Leon, do you think people should be able to opt out of having clean water? Or opt out of having connection to the sewage system?
They already can. You cannot pay your water bill. And I guess...
Well, shit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a democracy. But, how many people didn't vote for Trump? They got to live with Trump. It's a democracy. It's how democracy works.
Out, a lot of people would take that, wouldn't they?
And in 4 years, and in a couple more years, they'll get to vote again. And that's what we're asking. 894,000 of your neighbors said, this is worth investing in. And others said, we need something a little bit better. Let's try again.
Every year it goes by, fewer people ride mass transit across the country. So every year it goes by, there's a fewer voters for you. So, and you need to rush,
I agree. There has been a dip for a few years, but for decades it was increasing. And in communities like Seattle that have made major improvements in their bus service,
look at LA.
It is improving.
Look at LA, how much they spent on mass transit taxes the last few years, only to see mass transit ridership drop substantially.
Because they're just starting their investment. There are ways to improve.
There's always a reason.
Mr. Drolet, what do you think will happen if gas goes to $5 a gallon?
People will drive less.
Well, yeah, I know, but would that make them more apt to use mass transit?
I think no. It'll make people cut other corners. Some people use more mass transit. There's no question about that. But there's, believe it or not, a lot of people actually don't like riding buses and like driving their car.
And that's fine. And a lot of people would prefer to ride buses if there was one that was reliable and available to them. Why? We are not dragging anyone out of their cars. We're
right.
giving people a choice of how to get
take
around.
To get them out of their car onto a bus.
In the end and ultimately, it's going to be up to voters. If they don't want it, they'll vote it down. And
they already did that.
The issue, that was a different plan.
Oh.
The issue is there are some people in Macomb and Oakland who said, you know, we don't even want this on the ballot. And Wayne and Washington are saying, just put it on the ballot. If people don't want this new plan, they'll vote that down too. No sweat off anybody's back.
I have a question for Paul. You're a business guy. Has there been any studies done to show if we were to have mass transit, the kind we're talking about, what the overall impact of the economy would be?
Yes, I don't have those numbers. As I recall from the last plan, it was estimated that it would create something like 60,000 additional jobs with the growth in the economy. I can tell you that the plan is based on data. Where are jobs located? Where are people living? And what are the routes they take to get to work? So these routes are based on who needs to get to a job, who needs to get to a vital service. And, you know, opt-out doesn't encourage riding mass transit. And we may call them elites, but those who provide the jobs, the employers, really do see a need for mass transit to get people to jobs they want to provide and vital services. It's no coincidence that today, on the hearing on the opt-out bill, the health systems came in and opposed the bill. One of their main problems is people who are scheduled to have a health treatment or checkup don't get to their appointments. And they
right.
see mass transit as absolutely fundamental to connecting people where they live to where they need medical care.
Paul, would the revenue, obviously, if you have 60,000 more people with jobs, they're paying taxes, would that revenue compensate for the cost of rapid transit?
Well, absolutely. It's easier, Leon, to encourage people to vote against a tax. It's harder to inform people about what is the value added. But the law that we operate under requires that 85% of the revenue collected from a millage must be returned to the county from which it was collected to provide transit service. When you also add the formula support we would get from state and federal government, every county would get a minimum of 105% return on the taxes paid for transit. And that doesn't include what it means to private sector investment and growth.
National studies have found that on average, transit returns $4 to $6 into the local economy for every dollar invested between jobs created, between new development.
I can come up with a study that shows you for every tax dollar returned to the citizen, it generates a lot more money too. The problem with studies that are done on mass transit is they're always wrong. And I don't blame the people who commission them. They're always wrong. Let's take, absolutely always. Let's look at, for example, the queue line. Let's look at the queue line studies. Folks, they're off 40%. Their projections are off 40% for ridership of the queue line. Wrong. L.A., every city when they put up a new tax, even our smart system in Macomb County, just have to double the millage from 0.59 to a full mill and look at the new riders we're going to get.
No.
Wrong.
They said if you want to maintain smart service, we have to invest so that we actually have
right.
safe buses
look,
to operate. They've never made promises of expansion.
Every use of your tax dollars is couched with how much more it's going to get you. Whether it's corporate welfare giving to Dan Gilbert, he says, if you give me your money, I'm going to make a benefit from it. Nobody ever seems to think that you might be better off investing your money as you see fit instead of having other people do it on your behalf.
But Leon, the queue line currently is not being subsidized by public funds.
No, I know, but they're off 40% of their projections,
Private
Paul.
Investment
it's 25%.
Thought that it was worthwhile enough to build the queue line and operate it through at least 2027.
Right. I agree with you. And even there, they're off 40% of their riders or projections. And then they act surprised that we have winter here. Our projectors didn't realize it might get cold.
But the queue line is not mass transit. The queue line is 3 miles. It was never supposed to get anybody to work. It's supposed to get partiers from one end of town to the other.
It's a party bus.
This question about our individuals are better to decide where their dollars go.
That's right.
The role of government, the definition of society is there are some things that we can't do ourselves. There's a reason we have a fire department. There are a reason we have public parks. There's a reason we have schools. Those benefit the society. We can't do them ourselves, and we are better off as a community when we have them. Transit is the same thing. It improves property values. It ensures if something happens to you, we're all one broken leg or one broken axle away from not being able to drive. Could you still get to work? Could you still get to church? How much would you have to beg, borrow from friends to get around? Isn't it useful to have some sort of backup system if you either can't drive, don't want to drive, or to ensure that our society as a whole can work? That is the whole purpose of government and community.
Wait a minute. I want another question from the audience.
Hello. Hi. I'd like to ask...
Tell us your name.
My name is Mike, and I'm a freelance video production person, so I work in different locales. I do use public transit. I took the bus here tonight, and I thank you for everyone who is involved in making that happen. I think we have a fairly decent transit system for those who live on the Woodward Corridor, etc. But I have strong reservations about the proposal that is likely to make it in November.
What are they?
It's a half measure, first of all. It relies on what I would call outmoded buses that aren't particularly, they're not going to attract new riders. We're also relying on, I would say, dial-a-ride is what I would put it in terms of getting a few funds to outlying communities. What I would propose is a bold plan that it's heavily reliant on rail. Rail is the key, light rail, and we have heavy rail. Why are we not proposing to restart transportation on the line from Pontiac to Detroit? And there are other rail lines in the area that exist that we could bypass the traffic.
That's a good question. Let me stop you. And I wonder, do any of our panelists have any figures on what that would cost to do a light rail?
I was going to say, would you like a 6 or 7 mil property tax in order to have a rail-heavy system? The other point is for that track between here and Detroit is owned by a freight company who doesn't want to have passengers on it. I agree. Rail is more efficient. In the long term, it's more cost-effective. This is a half measure in that it is a start. It is a step in the right direction, and it doesn't have as much rapid transit as the last plan does because it smooths the peanut butter more smoothly throughout the entire region, so every single part of the region can benefit. I really see it as our best chance at a step in the right direction. I would love to see a much more rail-intensive system like an LA did, but they're looking at a $150 billion investment, not a $5 billion investment.
I would love to see more rail, too, because it'd make it easier to defeat the plan because it would be such an astronomical cost.
Paul, did you look at rail at all?
There is a rail line. We would use the Amtrak line between Ann Arbor and Detroit, and that is affordable because it's an existing line. There would be 8 trips every day for commuters. But it does get exorbitant and expense to do rail where we would have to rebuild lines or buy service from commercial rail lines or rail operators if they're willing. But the questioner talked about being relatively satisfied. Was that up Woodward Avenue?
Yeah. Yes.
So are you riding fast service now?
Well, yeah, either. I could have taken the 450 or the 462.
Okay. By all accounts, what SMART is doing with fast service has been very well received by riders. Essentially, what our plan would do is multiply that one fast line up Woodward, up and down, by 15. And that, I think, would move people and cause people to use transit more conveniently and in greater number. It allows me to make another point. We are not talking about creating a new layer of operating service. We are talking about redistributing the money we have to current operators so that they can better coordinate their service and provide more of it more frequently and longer hours.
Great. Another question.
This is Alex Hansen. I'm actually running for Livingston County Commissioner, District 5. I'm going to bring Livingston County into this discussion. Pardon me to the gentleman on the right there. There have actually been ongoing studies that actually showcase that there is enough demand to justify passenger trains from Ann Arbor to Traverse City, to name one line, and that there is significant interest in that actually being expanded. Even in 2011, there was a Michigan State rail plan that showcased strong support specifically for expanding the rail services. So from this, I've read that this service titled A2TC, so Ann Arbor to Traverse City, is similar to and builds upon the Wally commuter rail proposal. So for the panel, I actually have a couple questions for you. My questions are twofold. This A2TC rail system proposal, similar to Wally, why would this succeed where the Wally commuter rail failed? And is this Wally deal proposal dead? And number two, as a candidate for county commissioner, and this goes for any other people that are maybe considering running or are running, what can we do when in office to streamline projects like Wally or A2TC so that they actually happen instead of flounder like Wally?
Wait a second. Let me kind of take these one at a time. I like it in the future if we only ask one question per person, but let me sort of restate. First of all, I'm not sure that an Ann Arbor to Traverse City line is part of the scope of this discussion, is it? I think that's not what we're talking about tonight. And your second question, I want to change. Since I'm the moderator, I get to do this. There is a question. There's an interesting thing that you didn't ask, but I think is brought up by this. Livingston County is the fastest growing county around here. Why wasn't Livingston County included as part of this?
They hate taxes there. No, it's interesting though. I did a story in Bridge Magazine a couple years ago about a few businesses in Livingston County in Western Oakland that were paying for private buses to go all the way to Flint to bring people to work because they couldn't find workers and the workers couldn't get there. And there was such a demand for workers, but no transit. And so they took on paying for the people to go all the way from Flint to Livingston County. And at the time, there was discussion saying we need this sort of transit, we need some. But Livingston County loves, you know, telling everybody we don't pay a lot of taxes here, and they're proud of it. And the RTA doesn't include Livingston County, and it never has.
Was that because you thought? Was that because they thought Livingston County wasn't going to go for it?
Wasn't in the legislation.
Yeah, I don't remember it ever being brought up in the legislation.
Yeah.
So often the Southeast Michigan considered the Tri-County, but given how much is going on in Ann Arbor and the connections between Detroit and Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County was included as well. There is a provision that allows any other county to join the RTA if they want.
Right.
But given how hard it is to start...
Right. You want to start with
Let's start somewhere.
Sure. By the way, as a little footnote, there's been a lot of talk about elitists supporting this. Well, at the time, I talked to a number of these high elite people. They wouldn't let me in their house or anything. I'm just a dirty journalist, but they would talk to me. And the reason that they supported it was not to be invited to the right Ann Arbor parties. They wanted their workers to get to work. Next question. Where is that? Okay, right here.
Hi, I'm Bill Schuber. I'm from Lake Orion. I am a retired hospital administrator. And I want to suggest that you, for a moment, consider redefining one of your terms. I've been hearing you talking about mass transit all evening, and to me, mass transit means transporting a lot of people. And that doesn't mean buses. It means transporting a lot of people. And there was briefly at the beginning a suggestion that the money that's being spent on running buses could be used to subsidize door-to-door transportation, be it with Uber, be it with Lyft, be it with other companies that might come up with more innovative ways to do it. And just recently here, and honestly, I think the way you presented it was that company in Livingston that formed their own transportation system was doing something they shouldn't have to do. I'm sitting here applauding them. I think they are using innovation, they're using their smarts for their own business, and they're making their decisions about business. So what about mass transportation where you're looking at door-to-door and using the money to really give people the ability to get from where they are to where they want to go?
This system will absolutely pilot new ways to provide public transit. We know transportation's changing, and so there are pilots. DDOT launched today a pilot to work with Lyft so that workers who need to get to or from work between midnight and 4 a.m. have a way to get off of the Woodward bus and connect to their final destination. If you ask Uber and Lyft, if you ask almost any of these autonomous vehicles, they will say they are a partner to transit. It is great to have those options for short trips. It is great to have those options if you're in a very spread out area. However, a lot of big cities are already finding out if you're in an office building with 2,000 people who all get off work at 5 p.m., they can't possibly, there isn't enough curb space for all of the Ubers to pick everybody up. There's huge congestion problems being caused by that. So if you look at these in partnerships, you have major corridors like a Woodward or Gratiot or Grand River that move the most efficient, cost-efficient way to move a large number of people is on a large vehicle, whether it's an autonomous bus, who knows? And then you connect them to, at the end of their route, to an autonomous Uber or whatever that system's going to look like to get them the last mile or two to their house. That's really what a lot of experts are saying the future is. But we need to make sure, I mean, there's no one solution. Just like you don't only use email for every communication you ever do, there is no one solution to transportation. We need to provide a variety of choices that work for a variety of different options, and this plan specifically works to do that.
So Megan has articulated one of the differences between Metro Detroit and Washington, D.C., or New York, or even Chicago, and that the density there is much more intense as it currently stands. Is that a disadvantage or an advantage? For Detroit, I think it's an advantage. The fact that we don't have to have 500 Ubers sitting outside one place to pick everybody up at the same time. We're built around the car, much more so than many other communities. Being built around the car allows us to transition much more easily away from the bus and away from the old transit, the trolley cars, the old bus systems. This is a plan that stands in the way of doing that. The future is individualized transit. And helping people with individualized transit, like you articulated.
Wait a second.
Ask Paul, anybody under 40 and they'll disagree.
Paul Hill,
I have.
Yeah, if just the Oakland County Planning Department asked our regional transit staff to meet with the townships in northern and western Oakland counties, and there have been 15 such meetings. And what we heard is a need for more on-demand service in those townships. And so our revised plan does provide more funding.
We have one Lyft driver in Lake
Orion. Yeah, there is a need. And it's not only on-demand service where we can't provide fixed-line routes. Importantly, we need to have park and rides for those who can drive their automobiles to lots where they can then get on fixed bus line service.
Let me follow. Both Leon and this gentleman appear to be suggesting that it would be cost-effective to just have us subsidizing individual mass transit. You've had the balanced budgets. You've been a legislative leader. Does that make any economic sense?
I think it makes sense to do what we're proposing is to leave it to those local communities, those townships, to decide how best they can provide that on-demand service. And that's what the plan calls for.
It's important to remember that Uber and Lyft are not making any money. They are, in fact, losing billions and billions of dollars because moving one person at a time is not very efficient. It might be convenient, but it is not a very financially efficient way to move people around. Having multiple people share, and maybe you don't like actually sharing space with anybody else, but that is in fact what cities are, and in fact the most cost efficient way to move people is to provide multiple people in one vehicle, and that's what this plan is. Right.
That's why they have UberX and UberPool,
which are
a lot cheaper and you can fit more people in one vehicle.
I want another question. Where's our microphone person? Yes, ma'am.
So
tell us who you are and what you do.
Oh, yeah. I'm Michelle Lane, and I live in Rochester Hills, and I'm a teacher right up the road. And I am very concerned about environmental sustainability, and I haven't heard that to be part of this conversation really yet. And so I am wondering if that is even part of the conversation at the official level. And also, when I think of mass transit, I also don't think about moving a lot of individual people around. I feel that that is really a step backward. And what I'd like to see is being able to move masses of people around all at the same time, which is so much more efficient. And I understand, you know, there are economic issues, and I understand there are societal issues and social needs and individual needs. And I like the idea of Lyft and Uber for connections because that offers some flexibility and some self-determination, and I'm all for that. But what about the environmental sustainability?
Well, I think we have somebody in this panel who has a degree in that.
Actually, I was telling him beforehand, my degree, I originally got a degree in environmental policy from University of Michigan and spent a lot of years doing environmental advocacy, whether it was climate change or power plant pollution. And then I shifted to working on transit. And even though I originally came to it from an environmental standpoint, because you're right, if you want to protect farms and farmlands and forests, we need to not keep sprawling further and further out. If you want to, more than a third of global warming pollution comes from the transportation sector, and even a half-empty bus is twice as efficient than having all those people in individual vehicles. Sadly, that's not a big part of the discussion. I wish it were, but honestly, in some ways, transit's got so many benefits, we almost don't need to go there. Whether you're concerned about getting seniors to appointments, whether you're concerned about getting people to jobs, whether you're concerned about economic development and revitalizing our cities, whether you're concerned about just not putting more traffic on our roads, there's so many good reasons why transit is a benefit, and the environmental reasons are another critically important reason to support transit. And it's a shame that doesn't come up more often. Yeah, the emissions out of vehicles. Even if cars get more efficient, if people continue to drive farther and farther in individual vehicles, we will continue to put out more pollution, and it's not a sustainable solution. You're absolutely right.
So part of your question is, it reminds me that there's different demands that things that people prioritize. Some people see environmental issues are a higher priority. Some people it's education. Some people it might be transit, that sort of thing. And today I was able, Candace Miller, Macomb County Public Works Commissioner, gave us a tour of the Public Works Department in Macomb County and talked about the challenges that the county faces with direct discharge of raw sewage into the lake as a result of combined sewage overflows and so forth. And she talked about the need for addressing that problem and the costs that are involved in addressing that problem. So if you asked the average person in Macomb County, do you want to use that extra $200 a year to fix those direct dumping of sewage into Lake St. Clair, or do you want to use it for a bus? I guarantee you 85% are going to say fix the sewage before they want another empty bus.
I'm sorry, I expect my city to actually provide me both police
resources
service
are
and
limited.
Finance
yep.
and fire service and schools.
Well, that's great.
I expect my city to be able to have healthy water and roads that work and transit, and it shouldn't be unreasonable.
You can donate as much as you want, but people have a limit as to how much they will have taken from them and their family.
Chastity,
you might not
Pratt,
do that.
Chastity Pratt Dawsey, is this a legitimate thing to say? Do you want the way that Leon is phrasing it?
I mean, I just have to go back to what I said. If people don't want it, they won't vote for it. This is not a choice between this or that, between oranges and apples, between water and transit. It's a transit issue. Do you want the transit or don't you? And the thing is, you know, we live in a region where we got bad roads, high car insurance, and no mass transit to speak of. This is a triumvirate of bad things altogether for a region that wants to move forward economically. You can't have all three of those things at once.
And they're related. The important thing to, if you look at Southeast Michigan over the last 30 years, our population of the entire region has not changed. The amount of land we are using has doubled. So each and every one of us are paying for twice as many sewer lines, twice as many roads. That's not an efficient way. And actually, by providing transit, encourages less sprawling growth and actually provides a more efficient. So maybe we don't have to constantly be making roads wider out in Orion Township, and we can actually attract more people to come here.
Not everybody
infrastructure
wants,
is related.
Not everybody wants to live like you want them to live. Some people want to live in Lake Orion. Some people want to have a little bit of land. Some people like a backyard. So telling them we're going to get you to live where we want you to live by putting buses there.
No, we're going to give people choices. Right now they don't have enough choices to live in vibrant, urban, walkable areas where they can get around by transit.
They had the choice. They voted no.
I think the one thing that people need to do, and I invite you all to take a look at the plan and ask your neighbors to look at the plan, because here's the difference between this plan and the last plan. It really listened to those people who said, hey, I live out in the sticks. This isn't going to do anything for me. And it listened to them, and it gave them what they wanted. And we live in a region, in a state where local control is really important, where people were saying, hey, look, I don't want to spend my money for those people in Detroit to come out to my neighborhood. I don't want to spend my money for those people in Detroit and Ann Arbor to have a passenger train. But really, it's what Paul was saying. This plan gives people in the county the option to decide how much of that money will be spent, and they're going to get a lot of matching funds to spend it how they want to spend it within their county, cross-county regional transit. And if they understood really that their money is being spent in their county, cross-county busing up the road from, you know, this part of your county to that part of your county, these are what the people said they wanted. And if they really take a look at it and then they say they don't want it, well, you know, back to square
one. Chastity, you brought up, wait a second, everybody. You brought up something that I meant to ask earlier. If people are interested in this, they're going to need to do more than listen to us tonight. They're going to read about it. So I want, first of all, where would you suggest people go who want more information about this issue? And what? Let Chastity first, please.
Well, there's bridgemi.com. Bridge Magazine, we've done some writing about it. I mean, the RTA has the plan out there for everybody to see, and you can, you know, peruse it and share it, the links. Bridge Magazine, we've done an analysis of this whole RTA stuff, and we talk about
Bridge is officially neutral, right? They don't take a position. They just
we're nonpartisan, nonprofit media. Right.
But Jack, if you get on the RTAMichigan.org website, you can see the details of the plan, and you also can take a survey giving your feedback on
it's
on
RTA Michigan, fullwordmichigan.org.
So,
great. Wait a second. Megan, do you want to add something I should look at?
I was just say that in addition to the RTA Michigan website, there's a website designed specifically around this plan that's connectsoutheastmichigan.org, all written out. That's a good resource to us. Again, learn about the plan. And have your comments. For the next 3 weeks, RTA is asking, is this the right plan? So take a look at it. Share what you like. Share what you think should be improved. And they want to improve the plan to serve the people in this region.
Leon, does the dark side have a website?
Well, in the last election cycle, we ran the website nomassivetransittax.org, which had a calculator that people could calculate what they already pay in mass transit by entering in how many, you know, their house value and that sort of thing. and what they would pay under the last plan. So it's certainly, if this plan makes the ballot, we will have nomassivetransittax.org where you can find out how much it already costs and how much more it'll cost. But I wonder, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Jack, is right? Because we're encouraging folks to go to the website and learn a lot about the plan. I'm wondering if that's a waste of your time. Is this plan have any chance whatsoever of appearing on the ballot? Or is it already politically dead in the sense that you don't have the leaders of Oakland County or Macomb County willing to sign off on it? Is there a chance for it to appear on the ballot?
Well, Mr. Hilligans, you know a thing or two about politics.
Well, as I said earlier, every county, in essence, has veto power on putting this on the ballot. One reason we are doing the public education campaign now, seeking feedback before we adopt a final plan, is that we are not giving up on a vote in 2018. We believe that having fallen 1% short the last time and improving the plan to address what we heard during the campaign and since then, truly voters should have the opportunity to decide whether this makes sense. And that is the message we're taking to the county leaders. We encourage you to take that message to your local and county leaders.
Chastity?
Whether that passes, if it doesn't pass, there will probably by 2020 be something on the ballot in Wayne and Washtenaw, because those two counties are very dedicated to having some mass transit. So we are still waiting to see whether or not Oakland or Macomb will use their veto power to say, we don't even want our people to vote on this. But if they kill it and it doesn't appear on the ballot, there will be a mass transit option in a couple years, because those two counties are very dedicated to it, I have no doubt.
Heck, no reason Wayne and Washtenaw can't put it on the ballot this year or next year. We want to make, there are a lot of people who see a huge need to improve transit, and a lot of people are upset that a few individual political leaders are blocking people from being able to vote on this.
So the majority of folks in Macomb County would see the threat or the issue of Wayne and Washtenaw going alone as a relief, and they would wave it goodbye, good luck with your train. Because it got crushed in Macomb County last time. And it's, political leaders there are observant about how votes go. And so the County Board of Commissioners passed a resolution saying, fix the roads, don't put any more focus on expanding mass transit. And Hackle, Mark Hackle's not a stupid person. He saw what happened. He's a Democrat, but he's a very smart man. They're not synonymous. And he saw what happened. He got the message from the people he was supposed to represent. He would be a bad representative of the people of his community if he didn't listen to what they said.
I want another question. Where's our microphone person?
I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Todd Somsky. I'm from Lake Orion. And one of the things that I'd like people to think about is that the gentleman keeps bringing up about costs and things like that. But what about if we start thinking of what public transportation is, and that's the good for the public, okay? Just like we have public education, everybody contributes, and it's for the good of the public. What if we start thinking about transportation, regional transportation, that's good for the public? And I think everybody in here, most of us are probably suburbanites, just like myself. And how about if we start contributing to the good of the public, to the good of Detroit, to the good of Pontiac, to get those people where they need to go and to provide jobs and transportation from them?
I agree. I think we do a terrible job of providing transit using the dollars we have, and this plan doubles down on that terrible job. I think we need to completely reinvent transit, to individualize it, to allow people to voucherize it, and to allow the riders and the people who need it to have choices. I think this plan doubled down on the old system with a few window dressing to make it sound like it doesn't. So I agree. The biggest disservice we do is to the riders just as much as it is to the taxpayers.
There's 150,000 trips a day taken on transit. Many of those people have no other way to get there, and subsidizing Uber is not going to be the solution unless you want another 150,000 cars on your daily commute. On the routes where service has been increased, DDOT has increased a number of routes to run 24 hours. SMART has created a new fast service that is significantly increased in service since they've started running it every 15 minutes. Where there is service, where there is enough service that people can count on it, people are riding it and using it. But there are too many places where you can't get around or can't get around reliably. We need to at least give people the choice before we nix everything as a failure.
I want to take another question.
Hi, I'm Roger from West Bloomfield. In internet businesses, there's a thing called network effects where it takes a certain number of people involved to make it successful. Are there similar measures in transportation that you can use to evaluate transportation plans and see and determine if it's likely to be successful or not?
That's a good question. Who wants to tackle that first? Paul?
Well, yes. One reason the plan calls for more routes and more frequency of those stops and more hours during the day is that we need to increase ridership, and that happens when transit is more convenient, more timely. So, yes, the consultants who have done this work all over the country and are helping us put together our plan believe that that is the case.
And especially having routes. One of the problems right now is a lot of our transit, you have to schedule your life around the transit. And you're right, that's not terribly convenient. The bus that's closest to my house only runs every 45 minutes. I can take it, but it's not the most convenient. This system is going to have routes that run every 15 minutes, which means you walk out the door and you know that sometime in the next 10 minutes or so, the transit's going to be there for you. That is what's been found across the country to be the game changer. When transit works around your schedule and when there's enough connections, that is very much that network effect that, the Lodge would not be a very useful freeway just by itself. You need to have connections to make things more efficient. So as you, there is a document, I don't, I unfortunately have the numbers off the top of my head, but there have absolutely been demonstrations that when you have routes that run at least every 15 or every 10 or 15 minutes, and you have enough of them that it gets people where many of the places they need to go, it does become a much more efficient and much more attractive system.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about it, but also there is funding allocated for so-called infrastructure, but that's about modernizing traffic lights, synchronizing lights, one single fare card, so when transfers are necessary, you can prepay and move quickly onto a bus. It would get the system working faster as well as more often.
I have a question that hasn't been asked that I want to ask before I forget about it. How many more times, if you fail this year, how many more times are you allowed to go back to the voters?
As many as there is support to go back to the voters. Okay. Most plans around the country have failed the first time, but succeed right. A second time. If you fail a couple of times, it makes it that much harder, I think.
But the enabling legislation didn't limit you to...
No.
Great.
No.
Great. Another question from the audience.
Hi, my name is Melissa, and I live in Waterford, but I work here in Pontiac. I'm a registered nurse, and I work in case management. And I'm the mother of a 16-year-old who doesn't want to get his driver's license. So, yeah. And I, too, was a 16-year-old from a GM family where I was very castigated for not wanting to learn how to drive a car. But my question is that a lot of my patients, due to the location where we are, don't have access to reliable transportation. And when it comes time to discharge them, if I give them the option of a bus voucher versus calling a cab or a Lyft for them, 100% of the time they will choose the cab voucher. And I would love to be able to, I only live 3 miles from work, I'd love to be able to just hop on a bus and be here. But I've actually looked into it, and it's 45 minutes versus a 7-minute drive. So I guess what I'm asking is, with this new proposal, how are we going to get those people from the bus stop you know, the mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, whatever it is, to get to their home, because you're not going to have little tiny buses that go everywhere. And my one son who's in middle school wanted me to point out, too, in terms of wear and tear on the roads, he rides a bus to school every single day, and there's 7 kids who ride on his full-size bus, you know, a school bus, which I realize is a school district thing. But, you know, just looking at the wear and tear that we have on our roads from kind of unnecessary vehicles as well. So, thank you.
Well, Leon, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I think she's pointed out exactly why we need to move away from the bus. The bus is inflexible. So if we can get to a system where we're talking about Uber and Lyft or other transit services providing the last mile, the first mile, people don't want to make 3 changes on their way home from a doctor's appointment or work and take the Uber to the bus stop, then wait for the bus and take that to another bus stop, then wait for another Uber that's going to bring them to their house. They just don't want to do that. And you've identified exactly why the one-size-fits-all doesn't fit. The school bus with 7 kids cost the same to operate as a school bus with 7, you know, with 60 kids. So we really do need to let the marketplace, let the consumers in the marketplace decide their options and provide those that can't afford options with some financial support.
Paul.
And let them choose those options.
Paul, could you explain the plan and how it's not one size fit all?
No. Funding is provided for that first and last mile, the on-demand service to get to a fixed-line bus stop. And you do need both. You really do. There was an article this past week in the New York Times about what Manhattan is struggling with. But yes, Leon, their subway system ridership is falling off, in part because they've done so little investment in that system in recent years. But another reason is that more people are turning to Uber and Lyft, and it is creating this incredible congestion problem in Manhattan. Strictly relying on that kind of transportation isn't going to get people to where they need to go conveniently.
Yet despite that congestion, they still prefer it over the subway.
Well, I can take one more question. Somebody who hasn't asked one yet. Give somebody else a chance. There's a man with a tie on. I like men with ties on.
Hello, my name is Sean Kammer. I am the downtown manager for the city of Royal Oak, and I am a Pontiac resident. Throughout the night, I've written down lots of questions, but for the sake of efficiency, I want to get to the point, which is the city of Royal Oak is currently looking into its own public transportation system, and I think that's a result from the frustration of the failure of the last regional millage. So if this were to get on the ballot, would this help or hurt regional transit chances?
If the Royal Oak thing was to get on the ballot? Okay, let me ask you a little bit. I'm intrigued by this. Would it work only in Royal Oak?
It would be a Royal Oak-specific program, and it would take people from as north as Beaumont Hospital and the development that's happening there. It would take people down to downtown through the neighborhoods. It would take people to the zoo. So it's pretty thorough in its connectivity. But the question is, if this gets on the ballot in Royal Oak, is this going to overwhelm voters on their ballot if they're going to see regional transit and then a smart millage and then a local millage? Are they more likely to vote it all down, or do you think this will help efforts?
Paul, you're an old shrewd political calculator. What do you think?
Megan, you should comment too, but I do think our mission, as we talk about this plan, is to describe not only to the townships in northern and western Oakland, northern Macomb, but cities like Royal Oak, what kind of local money would be available to connect to a regional transit system. And we'll have to make that case. But I think if every city, every township goes off on its own with their own separate millages, we're not going to have connected public transportation that this region badly needs.
And that's one of our challenges, is that our lives don't end at our city's borders, and yet all too often our transportation systems do. I certainly don't blame Royal Oak. I mean, just like so many, every last church or senior center or or youth group or after-school program or all is or all of these hospitals or the casinos and bars. So many people are putting so much money to make do for a system that has failed them. In every other major metropolitan area in the country, if you need to get to the airport, you can get to the airport. If you need to get to a job downtown, you can get to a job downtown. Warren Evans said, the debate around regional transit is only a Southeast Michigan debate because everywhere else it's a done deal. It is a guarantee. So it's absurd that communities have to work so hard when there are so many gaps in our system.
I just want to say that I'm intrigued by this idea of the People's Republic of Royal Oak. Do people in Royal Oak ever leave Royal Oak? That would be like a little contained entity like Albania. I like that. And Sean, seriously, is this seen as being cost effective?
There is a lot of support to it. It's also really controversial at the same time, so we'll see where that goes. I wanted to add, earlier it was mentioned that Southeastern Michigan was built for the automobile. I wanted to kind of counter that with an example that I believe with the resurgence of Detroit, there's a second wave of urbanization that's hitting the Woodward Corridor, and Royal Oak is in the process of selling off and has sold off a lot of its surface parking lots. So we are increasing in our urban density. We're becoming less about the automobile. We're encouraging non-motorized transportation in our downtown to make it more efficient for people. Right. So those traditional models of, you know, designing everything around the personal vehicle is drastically changing.
Well, I want to say thank you. This has been a fascinating discussion, but I've just been told that the Michigan Radio rickshaws are here and to take us all back to Ann Arbor. But I want to thank all of you for coming out and participating. I think we've all learned a lot. And I want to turn this over to Steve, our main host, to close this out.
How about a big round of applause for all of our panelists here? They came out here tonight. They gave up their evening. And they're basically just working for an Issues and Ale pint glass. So that's great. Thank you, all of you, for coming out here. How about a big round of applause for the folks here at Fillmore 13, your wait staff that was working very hard to fulfill your needs tonight. And we hope you all drive safely or take the bus, however you're getting home tonight. And we hope we will see you at a future Issues and Ale event. If you want to keep posted on our events, the best way to do that is go to our website, michiganradio.org, check out our Facebook page, or sign up for our newsletter. Just go to michiganradio.org and click on the Connect tab, and you can sign up that way. Thank you again for coming out, and have a good evening.